Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, another great day. Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. My name is Scott McKenzie, but you know that because you're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast. This is where we celebrate. That's right. Celebrate the women and men of industry, the women and men of manufacturing, and all things in between. You are bold. You are brave. You dare greatly. You innovate, and you're changing lives, and you're changing the world. We thank you. We celebrate you. Thank you for being a hero of industry. Now, on the hot seat, Rob Tiffany. He's been on this podcast before. Energy is an understatement. He has a great view of IoT and all of the stuff that's associated with this digital transformation. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the heart. Let's get rocking. Yeah. Okay. You're saying, Scott, I understand. I understand all of that about this IoT stuff. Digital transformation, digital journey, digital this, and Industry 4.0 and Edge. And it's all great stuff. I love it. Me personally, love it. Interacting with people like Tiffany and Stephanie Atkinson and others about this, it's a wonderful conversation. Now let's go beyond that right now. Let's talk a little bit about the heart. Why is, and this is the car conversation, I don't have all the answers because, you know, we always want to talk about collaboration, innovation, and education. That's what we do here on the podcast. However, we're going to be talking about the heart. We're going to be talking about the impact that this wonderful innovation can have on countries that might not have the available resources that other countries have, communities and individuals and lives all around the world. How do we deploy it? How do we help everybody get into the Industry 4.0 game? That's what this is about. How about that? It's not your typical podcast conversation about Industry 4.0. Now, before we continue on to the interview, I want you to get out your, you know, pencil and paper. And this is free. This is free. And if you're saying to yourself, I can't afford it, it is free. And it's virtual. And there's no excuse because we're going to be having a panel. This panel is going to be talking about absolutely the humanizing of this whole digital transformation journey. It includes a gentleman by the name of this guy right here, Rob Tiffany, Stephanie Atkinson. She's a rock star. She is a doggone pepper. And then the last one is Bill Schmarzone. If you've ever heard Bill talk, he will blow your mind. He is that good. They're all that good. And we're just going to have this roundtable. We're going to talk about how we're going to change the world and how we're going to deploy and how we're going to impact people in need of this particular technology. It's a fabulous conversation. You're saying to yourself, Scott, where in the hell can I find this conversation? That's right. Pencil and paper time. It's going to be featured on IoT Solutions World Congress. Go to their website. Boom, it's right there. And you're going to click on Digital Summit 2020. Digital Summit 2020. Now, it's going to be a two-day event, December 2nd to December 3rd. The first day is going to be Artificial Intelligence Day. Yeah, you need to know that. Yeah, they're going to be featuring people in that. Yeah, absolutely. And the next day is going to be Digital Twin Day. And if you don't know about Digital Twin, you need to know about Digital Twin. Powerful, powerful innovation to make your company, your business, everything else run like work. So anyway, that's again, go out to IoT Solutions World Congress. It's the URL is iotsworldcongress.com. You'll find it. Just type that in and it's all there. And you're saying, and you're just saying, Scott, I can't afford it. Yeah, you can. It's free. It's virtual. And it's featuring some of the best. I've worked with the IoT Solutions World Congress professionals out there. The best. They are dedicated to exactly delivering content that is meaningful to you. All right. Rob Tiffany is on the hot seat. And if you ever go out to his stat card, it's, for me personally, it's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed by it because I don't even have a fraction of what he brings to the table. I might have better looks than he does. No, he even looks better than I do. I might have more. No, he has more hair. In fact, he's just an all-around better person. That's what he is. So go out to his stat card, Rob Tiffany. He is the VP and head of IoT strategies at Ericsson. And again, the guy's got a huge heart, and we are talking about how we're going to transform this world. What are we going to do in leveraging technology and leveraging solutions about keeping our kids educated, because we're in a challenging time. How do we deploy some of this wonderful technology in countries and communities that need it to and change their lives? Come on. You can't beat this. All right. He's great. You can tell I'm a big fan. President of his fan club. Now, anyway, Rob Tiffany's in the hot seat. Enjoy the conversation. Hey, Rob, welcome back to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I've been excited about having this conversation for some time. Thank you. You're cool.
Hey, great to be back. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're all cool. Listeners, he's cool. Just trust me. You go out to the stat card right there, and don't be frightened by the picture for whatever reason he has out there. It's Rob Tiffany. And then he's got this mop top. He looks like he's were you surfing then?
Yeah. I think I was in Sweden at that time. You know, prior to all this, which I know sounds backwards, I just said, I'm going to grow my hair out. I need to be looking more like a rock star, I think. And so I did that. Ironically, when we were allowed to get haircuts again, you know, during COVID, or I went out and just got really, I don't know. It was impulsive. It was stupid. And now I got to start all over again.
Just grow it out. I mean, yeah. Just to do it. Yeah. Be edgy, because I'm telling you, that is a cool, you got an angry lookout on your stat card, but it's still like a cross between anger and you're just cool.
Is it like brooding?
It is. You're,
yeah.
You're wrestling with the world's challenges, but you don't care because you're like Rob Tiffany.
Like James Dean or something, carrying it, you know. I don't know.
All right. But the last time you might have heard us talk, Rob and I were talking a little bit about the heart and associated with this digital transformation journey and what's sort of BS and what's not, what makes sense, what doesn't. And from my perspective is that, just like anything else, I really want to pursue the human side of this whole digital journey and how it's truly not the pie in the sky crap that we hear all the time. Not to say it's crap, it's good stuff, but sometimes you just got to be real, and what is real and how to bring it down to real practices and impacting communities, people, and just transforming these worlds. Now, you've got a foundation called Moab.
Yes.
Little background on that, please.
Sure. Yeah, we are trying to keep it real. I'm trying to be the Forrest Gump to your Lieutenant Dan. And so we're going to make this happen, okay? The backstory of Moab, well, gosh. So prior to, after building Lumada at Hitachi, there's this period of time I was going to do a startup. It was called Enterprise IoT. Taking everything I've learned from Microsoft and Hitachi and doing all this stuff and build the ultimate platform ever, right? With all the enterprise features that all the giant companies kept asking for. So I started doing that, and I do like to hike, and I spent some time out in Moab, Utah. And there are some, anybody who goes to Utah, there's so many great national parks there.
Here's a side note. I know you're going down that journey, but we used to go to Utah. And, you know, when I was a boy, all we did was go to a place called Minersville Reservoir and Panguitch Lake. And we just trout fished. Oh, that's it. Okay. I didn't see any other part of Utah. We just trout fished.
Giant arches or?
No, we just went to Minersville Reservoir, Panguitch.
Well, that explains a lot about you. Okay.
I like trout.
I hope you're working through those issues.
It's now that you bring it up.
Yeah, so, well, you know, you go to this little town in Moab, Utah, and there's Arches National Park, and there's Canyonlands National Park right around there. And so just crazy exotic stuff. It's good to get up first thing in the morning when the sunrise is coming, get that great shot. Anyway, started building this IoT platform for companies, and I called it Moab. Let's just give it a name. And so I was like, I like that, you know, and I'll use the cool little arch maybe as a logo, which I guess is what Utah does for their license plates. And it really It really started there. And so I was heads down because I still write code and I still design stuff. So I was heads down building what I was thinking of as the future of this whole IoT digital nonsense that we're involved in, right? along the way, I was being recruited by Ericsson, where I work today. And so, you know, in the background, I'd be like doing a call every week or two with someone at Ericsson. Anyway, long story short, I probably got the product to MVP stage, minimum viable product, kind of a V1-ish, where I would be time for me to go out fundraising, talking to venture capitalists, right?
Right, right.
So about that time, I ended up accepting the job with Ericsson to do the role that I'm doing, helping out with IoT strategy at Ericsson. And so that product and all that work just kind of got put on the back burner. And, you know how it is. You start a new job and you dive headlong into your new job and you're consumed.
No, I don't know how that is, Rob. I pretty much stick to what I commit to. And no, I have no clue. I always succeed at what I do.
You're right. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I'm that kind of guy.
But you know what? So I'm at Ericsson and about, I'd say 6 months later, I'd be at different events, IoT events, other people. And I had so many people coming up saying, hey, whatever happened to all that code you created? Hey, what happened to Moab?
Oh, wow.
There were analysts already looking at it. And I guess I'm allowed to have a little street cred because of Lumada and Azure IoT. They're like, we'll take it seriously. And so I had lots of people. I had people saying, could I have the code? Could I take it through our process and we'll try to give it new life somewhere else? And so it kind of jogged my memory. And so I started kicking off the dirt off the product and started kind of goofing around on weekends. And also kind of my mind's like, you know what, I think I'm going to make this open source. And then the bigger backstory, though, as you and I've talked about, was once you have this realization that some of these digital or IoT technologies can play a role outside of business, outside of just commerce, and it can impact society and all kinds of things.
Yeah,
that started happening.
I think this is just, I'm going to find that quote that she, Stephanie Adkins, because we're going to talk a little bit about the other project you're working on too, but Stephanie Adkins.
Atkinson?
Atkinson. Sorry about that. Sorry, Stephanie. Sorry. If I just got done. I get lazy with my names, right? Anyway, tech for good. I like that. I like it when she said that because I get the business part. I do. You just constantly, you're around business people, you're chirping at it, and everybody's in the trenches talking about how tech is helping their business move forward. That's all good. But where's the good? Where's that purpose? Where's that ability to be able to truly transform communities who need it?
Yeah.
And then be able to do it in such a way that they can afford it and then do it so that they have the infrastructure. And that if it's helping business, let's help communities. And that's with that tech for good statement. And Stephanie, I'm going to steal it. It's probably out there, but I'm going to really steal it.
The tech for good is a good thing.
It is.
So as soon as I realized that I could, like peanut butter and chocolate, I could take the Moab IoT platform that I built and marry it up with those 17 sustainable development goals from the United Nations and line up use cases and execution plans, you know, then you got something there, you know? It's about, but it's about volunteers. It's about giving and
building. That's a whole another level. But the vision is there, and I don't know. You're just like a glutton for punishment. You're an Ericsson bigwig. You know, you think big. You're with Ericsson. You're a bigwig, and yet you start another company with Stephanie. I'm not sure who else, but it's ElevateOurKids.org, and I think that's cool stuff. Realize that in this pandemic, whatever we call this. Whatever.
Yeah.
There are huge educational gaps that nobody ever thought about.
Absolutely.
And you guys sit there on your podcast, IoT Coffee Talk?
Coffee Talk. Yeah.
I was telling Stephanie, you guys got to change it to Coffee Clutch. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, you guys have this conversation. Tell us a little bit about that. What's the pain?
You know, sometimes things just fall into your lap, you know? there are some startups where you're killing yourself to come up with a pain point to solve.
like all of them.
Like all of them. You know, it's like when you watch those commercials on TV and the person's got the tangled hair and so it's in black and white, and then as soon as they put in the new conditioner, it's in color. So anyway, it's really hard out there. This one fell in our lap, and it's real obvious, and it was a huge pain point. Yeah. And my wife is a school teacher, and so I'm feeling it. So it makes it real. So all of a sudden, last spring, you know, probably maybe slightly different times from different states, but, you know, they shut down our schools, and they were making stuff up as they went along. No doubt about it.
Big time.
Yeah. And, you know, and so everybody, it's like, you're going home. If you happen to be in a school district or a school that had what they call a one-to-one program, then you may have had a laptop or a tablet assigned to you. And it just depends. Not every school district's the same, as we know. Some of them have PTAs or other organizations that are doing fundraising to get them, you know, iPads or whatever. So anyway, that happened. And all of a sudden it was like, at least in our kids' schools, they did have laptops. And so they said, you're going home, take your laptop with you, and we're going to kind of figure this out. And you had people doing what we're doing now, jumping on Zoom. You had people who are, you know, there's school districts that are kind of Microsoft 365, Office 365 school districts, because they get a good deal. So those folks are using Teams, you know, and they're using all the Office products. There's a bunch of schools that are doing Chromebooks from Google. And there's even a whole deal called Google Classroom to help do a total browser-based thing. And so there's a lot of kids who have Chromebooks out there. So anyway, a quick realization, it didn't take long, that it's like every kid is at home and they're on their little bedrooms on a laptop if they have one. But if guess what? If you don't have a laptop, a PC of any kind or something, education ceases. It just stops right there. And so you as a student do not progress. Some school districts are better able to help you out than others. Or conversely, we would have scenarios where, oh, the kids do have a laptop, but where their house is, maybe their parents, you know, they may not have Wi-Fi, you know, or cable modem or anything like that. And so you see these kind of two problems pop up, compute power and connectivity, right?
Yeah.
And so we decided, let's do something about that. Let's start a nonprofit called Elevate Our Kids. And let's raise money and let's buy these laptops. At first, we didn't know, could we get used ones? And we found out you can't do the used ones. That seemed like the obvious thing to me, lower cost, right? So you got to get new ones. And again, schools.
Ho, you just, why can't you get used ones?
I heard we got feedback, you know, the different school districts have IT departments, and we got feedback that there's too many variables, too many things to potentially deal with. Getting someone else's laptop that needs to be wiped, and I don't know.
Yeah, I got you. I just something like that.
But it elevated the problem a little bit more though, right? Because cost is king. We got to get the cost down. We need to help as many kids as cheaply as we can, right? And so we can't. You don't see any school districts handing out MacBook Pros to kids. It's crazy money, right?
It's
got to be as cheap as possible to deliver education over the internet to kids. And so you see trying to find laptops that are $200 or $250, maybe $300. You know, kind of these, you know, either Windows PCs or some of these Chromebooks as appropriate. So that was the gist of it. You know, real simple idea. Kids don't have laptops. Let's help get them laptops.
It's cool. Don't get me wrong. Now, with that said, I would imagine in some neighborhoods, some parts of the country, do you have a sort of an idea of how many schools fall into the category that how do we do, you know, online learning when they don't have access to the computers? Do you have any idea of that?
We have a little bit of an idea because we've had other organizations reach out to us that are adjacent. We've had organizations like, you know, do you remember there was some of the CARES Act or whatever, and they were distributing money around that. We've met with people who have a better idea of what's kind of going on underneath the surface. You know, how many millions of kids don't have a computer right now is the thing, right?
Yeah.
And so, so we've been directed to certain cities, for instance, you know, I think we're learning as we go along, right?
Yeah.
You know, we have this idea. Let's raise money. Let's get laptops. Let's find out the school districts that need them and get them to them and just give them.
And just like anything else, it's a journey. You don't have the right answer right off. You know, you just say, hey, there's a need. We need to do this. And therefore do it.
Yeah.
And then see where it goes and then adjust.
And we've even started talking to, because that parallel need that I talked about, the connectivity, if the kids don't have, you know, you've heard of maybe some school districts bringing in like Wi-Fi hotspots, LTE kind of things to bring in internet if they don't have it. So that's another thing. T-Mobile's doing a big thing, I think, called Project 10 Million to get connectivity out to the kids.
See, 10 million? So,
it's
a big number.
You know what? This awesome country of ours is not as connected as we would like to think it is. You know, there's a whole lot of people, whether it's rural areas or in big cities, that don't have even minimal connectivity.
So how did you decide your first target? Like, okay, we got computers. How did you say we'll go here?
Well, actually,
how is that sort of evaluation?
Yeah, well, the website certainly allows school districts or teachers to submit information to us. But like lots of things that fall in your lap. Stephanie had connections with a company, you know, a large company. A lot of big companies have parts of their organization where they give to charity, right? And they may even have a budget for how much they give to charity. And so we were fortunate enough to make some connections in that vein. To be able to get money from them. And they told us they had some specific cities in mind and they'd already done statistics on things. So no genius on our part, you know, as far as stumbling down the road.
Right.
We got some guidance there. And then we keep talking to different organizations. It turns out it's all hands on deck and there's lots of good people out there trying to help out. And so we've had different calls with different folks and they'll tell us, oh, this city maybe is in good shape or the school district's in good shape. You don't need to worry about it. Move on to this one. It's been really interesting.
Yeah, because out on the website, which I'm out there, good looking website, good looking. And they're saying it's estimated that 15 to 25 million students lack access to laptops and computing devices for at home and remote learning.
Yeah.
And we have no idea how long this is going on. None.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Then you can't lose a generation. I mean, you got to, you know, education, especially at that, it sort of builds and builds and builds and you just sort of stopped it cold.
You're absolutely right. And so you're right. Every day that kid doesn't have a computer, it's as if they didn't go to class that day. And so you're right. They're falling further and further behind.
Yeah.
And you know what? And then of course you see those. Sometimes it's just everybody's in the same boat and sometimes different socioeconomic levels of people are more likely to not be the ones who can connect than others. And so it causes a more of a divide that way across the income strata and things like that, where you are in the world. There's a lot of ways that the badness of not getting educated can be amplified even in a bad way, even worse.
This is tough.
And it's not like something like, oh, well, no worries, we'll get around to it. We'll get you those computers. It's not that at all. There's a ticking clock. It's,
You know, one day they were going to school, the next day they weren't. And then schools are trying to figure it out. Months go by. Months. It's months. Yes. And if there's still a gap of 15 to 25 million, it's going to be a year out of school to a certain extent for a year.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
That's sad. How's your wife dealing with it? I mean, if she's a teacher, she's doing remotely. Is she having a good time?
She's working more hours than she's ever worked as a teacher ever. And is dealing with more politics than she ever imagined as well. That makes it hard. You know, a lot of teachers would love it if they could just teach their class, but there's so many other things. So in the spring, it was like send all the kids home and we're winging it, right? And they're just trying to keep them going. But, you know, as they formulate a plan, and I think that's where all the schools were going into spring and finishing up for last year and going into summer. Coming back, there were a illusions, delusions, I don't know what you want to call it, during the summertime that we had maybe beaten this thing down. And a lot of schools were saying we're going to go back in person.
Yeah.
And some tried and had to pull out shortly thereafter as things started spiking. And so, so anyway, my wife, while she was at home during the springtime, while they're winging it, she just goes to her classroom at the elementary school because they have great internet there, right?
As you can imagine. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it's good to get away from the house too, right? And so get away from me, of course. And so being there, being able to have all the stuff she needs to do. But you know what? What a learning experience for her and these kids, because she's teaching them primarily on Teams, a little bit on Zoom, using all the office products. They're using touchscreen laptops and doing some whiteboard stuff with pens. You know, it's interesting. In some ways, these kids will be more advanced. They're learning about they're getting a crash course in technology and a lot of the digital. They're getting digitally transformed.
Yeah, they big time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just being forced down their throat. It's like, it's sink or swim. My wife is also finding herself having to be part of the geek squad and having to do IT because she'll have kids to say, I can't hear, the volume's not working.
Go down to the right, left-hand corner. I think you're on mute. I see that you're on mute. Yeah. Have that conversation.
Yeah. There's a lot of things because there'll be problems with the actual computers themselves. And all of a sudden she's burning up time doing tech support. Also,
I would imagine, I'm not a teacher, and I did teach at a university, but I could see when somebody was struggling, you could see it. It's like right there. But it's harder virtually. It's harder to see the kids that are sort of struggling. How is she dealing with that?
It is hard because you had some kids that just kind of disappear, or they're more than just checked out. They're just like not showing up. Messing around with whatever.
I mean, it's easy. I went over here and I looked at your website and I started getting some, and you were talking and I was just like, you know, it's easy.
Yeah. Parents play a big role in this too. You know, and boy, there's other stories there about how tough it is for two working parents when you have kids that you got to take care of, and you're seeing, you know, this is causing a problem there too.
How long
parents are having to be on top of if their kid is inclined to, you know, not pay attention and you know, because there's a whole other deal about school in the class. It's called classroom management, where you burn up time trying to keep the kids in line, right?
Yeah.
And focus so they can teach. It's not like me going doing a training class on some technology and everybody's there is wants to be there and paid a lot of money to be there. Here, you know, and so that problem that you had to do in person on classroom management to get Sally and Johnny to stop goofing around, well, now it's online. They can share screen. She can talk out, hey, Sally, hey, Tommy, what are you doing? But it is more difficult. But
yeah,
you know, it's, and I think it's going to be a mixed bag. You know, I feel like she feels like her kids are really getting the hang of things, but she talks to other teachers who are really struggling, and the kids are struggling. I think as a whole, I don't think they're in love with this way of learning. But yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah. I don't have an answer. I understand that you have, and you know, kudos to you guys that just said, okay, we could do our part. And that part is okay. Kids are not connected. Here's a computer. Let's try to drive to, you have a computer that you want to, let's see that computer real quick. Drive the price point down and give them the ability to, you know, do something. And it's up to the teacher, but go ahead.
I think I may have shown this before.
And you certainly did.
Early inspiration on getting laptops in the hands of kids. You know, this is the old one laptop per child. They tried to get down to a $100 laptop way back when. It didn't work out. But it's like a play school toy. You know?
Use it as a wheel chalk for your truck.
Exactly. Had a kinetic thing to power it up by hand, you know, like when you have radio that you can wind up or lights. Yeah. So here's what is something new today that kind of is like that, because so much of this is about economics, right?
Yeah, Raspberry Pi.
So kids might know about the Raspberry Pi from, you know, it's teaching them, like if they were doing some STEM classes, you know, engineering, learning how to program, maybe learning how to solder, and stuff like that. And so the Raspberry Pi, not this thing, obviously, but the, you know, the device that you normally think of, you know, this thing here.
Yeah, yeah.
Familiar Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess where I'm at, and it's not like any genius on my part, this Raspberry Pi 400 is a souped up version of the Raspberry Pi 4. And so it's pretty fast now. It's got all these ports that look like just a normal computer. So they put the, yeah. they managed to redesign the Raspberry Pi 4 and put it inside this keyboard. And so the computer is the keyboard. Now, you know, so you just plug it into a, you know, plug in a mouse and plug into a monitor and you're off to the races. So what I'm going to do and what I wanted to is as soon as I saw this and the price point, $70 for the keyboard, you can now obviously you can spend some more money getting the mouse and a few other accessories and things like that. But we're talking really low costs because when part of our ability to execute with Elevate Our Kids is, you know, we get so much money through fundraising or whatever. I want to be able to give as many kids as many computers as possible, right? And so if computers are always costing me $250 or $300 or $400 or whatever. But so the big experiment here is this computer. Yes, it runs Linux, and that might be a little weird for kids, but we'll see if we can mask that. But the big takeaway is it runs the Chromium web browser, which is kind of the open source, you know, the baseline right. code that powers Chrome. And it actually powers Microsoft Edge now as well.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Who knew? So if there are a lot of kids who are just completely doing stuff through their browser, you know, it could be Google Docs or Sheets. If they're doing Google Classroom, they could be doing the web versions of Word and Excel and PowerPoint and Office 365. You can always do the web version of Teams or Zoom. So I'm going to go through, I'll do a video and walk through, but I just need to double check for myself. But if it is possible to accomplish all those tasks that a kid maybe who might normally get, let's say a Chromebook, for instance, and we can do this at a lower price point, then it's certainly something we could add to our portfolio or whatever you want to call it, of getting computers out to kids.
It's I'm out at the website right now and it's pretty cool.
It is cool.
Yeah. It is cool. And as a former owner of a Commodore 64, look at that. They were brilliant.
It's the same idea.
That is, man. They were brilliant.
The computer and the keyboard. Yeah.
That's it, man. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
I thought I was really big stuff with the Commodore 64.
You were big stuff.
Wish I still had it. Big old.
It would be fun.
Yeah. No, that is great.
Yeah.
I just, you know, once again, pre-virus, we were somewhat lazy. We just didn't see some of the, but post-virus, we're really focused on things that really mean something, that are, you know, I'm not wasting my time. I don't have the luxury of wasting my time. I need to do something for my business, for my family, for my kids, for whatever. I need to pinpoint focus because I don't have the luxury and the world has changed.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's ever going to really, let's go back to something, but it's forever changed.
I think we'll learn a lot through this. Hopefully we've learned a lot through this experience.
Look at that. They even have dropped, go out to that Raspberry PI.org products, Raspberry 400, type it in. Tons of information about that. We got to wrap this up there, Rob. Thank you very much. You're awesome.
Hey,
you and Stephanie and Schmarzo are all great people, and I appreciate you guys being on the podcast because this is great stuff.
That's outstanding.
All right, listeners, we're going to have to wrap it up on the other side. You know, don't go away. We're going to, I'll give you all of the contact, even the Raspberry stuff I'm going to put out there so that if you, and his contact in turn saying, hey, I'm interested in donating. Everything will be out there. Everything. So don't come complaining to me that you can't find them. You're lying. All right. Thank you, Rob, again for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Hang tight there, guys. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, two words right there. Rob Tiffany. Now, he's going to be featured as well as Susan Atkinson and Bill Schmarzo. We're going to be talking about how we leverage innovation technology to change the world. That's right. Industry 4.0 has got to do that. You've got to be a part of it. You've got to be that passionate about this innovation. Now, you can go out to Rob Tiffany's stat card. Find him. Rob Tiffany. Easy peasy. Got a goat and hair and all that good stuff. You will not be disappointed. He is a leader. All right. We're going to be doing again. Got to go out to the IoT Solutions World Congress. You got to go to that website. You got to find the digital summit information. You will sign up. It's for free. And that is December 2nd through the 3rd of December. Don't be afraid. It's all free. The water's warm. Join. Be a part of the conversation. All right. Be bold. Be brave. Dare greatly. Change the world. That's what we're all about. We'll be back with another great conversation shortly.